St. James Lutheran Church likes to greet all of you this morning in Christ's name, and a special congratulations to all the graduates here this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear deaconesses and ambassadors for Christ, faculty, family, and friends, Iva Bebo and Lucia Sigourney were both in their late 70s. They and their sainted husbands had been friends for most of their lives. Iva lived two blocks from the church. She could barely walk, but on Sunday when she went to church, she'd make it out to her car, drive another 8 blocks, pick up Lucia, and they'd come back to church and park right in front of the church doors. Then they climbed those 13 steps very slowly and sit in the first pew in the back of the church, right underneath the Good Shepherd window. It was a hot afternoon in July. That little brick church had become a brick oven. There I sat, sweating out that installation ordination servant. In the back, there was one gigantic metal fan that sent nice breezes throughout the church. It felt comfortable. And then, as the last words of that sermon hymn were spoken, and the district president got up in the pulpit to preach, suddenly there was a loud click. The fan stopped. It was dead hot. I was nervous, and I prayed for a short sermon. And when the service was over, I asked one of the ushers why they turned the fan off. He said they didn't, Lucia had. Because you see, that metal fan sounds like a jet ready to take off, and they wanted to hear about the love of Christ from that sermon, from that message that the pastor brought. And that's something deaconesses and as well as graduates need to remember. It's all about the love of God for sinners. The love of God, first of all, reminds you that you implore sinners to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, to love those sinners for whom Christ died. Christ has called all of you to share the love of God with sinners. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You believe and have confessed that Jesus Christ died for you, then he lived for you, and then he has saved you. You are so happy that you have been saved, you are now compelled, the Apostle Paul says, to tell the whole world about Jesus Christ, as an ordained pastor or as a deaconess, to share this love of God with all sinners, to everyone who will listen. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You have been called as ambassadors into the holy ministry of Jesus Christ. As pastors, here the Apostle Paul describes for you your ministry, your work, to implore sinners on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Jesus makes it easy. He gives you the means, and he gives you also that message, the message that Jesus Christ has loved the world and has saved it. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You've got the law, and you have the gospel. The law to convict sinners that they need a Savior, and the gospel to show them the love of God, that in spite of their sin, he wants them to be his own, and he has won salvation for them through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes, God so loved us that he came into the world to live the very commandments he has given to us, because it's impossible for us to live them perfectly. You got to be perfect to get into heaven. We're not. We have sinned. Graduates, you have sinned. And as a result, you appreciate the gospel. And in spite of your sin, Jesus says, I love you. I have died for you. Yes, Jesus came into the world to live that perfect life and then to die for all sin, for all sinners. Yes, life, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation were signed in the blood of Christ, sealed in the death of Christ, and delivered with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we get to preach. We get the honor, the privilege of sharing this wonderful gospel with Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel, not my fancy program for evangelism or my beautiful PowerPoint presentation, but the gospel. The Holy Spirit is working in the gospel, that love of God that is proclaimed through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's why men, and also women, when we make that presentation of the gospel, it's got to be clear. It can't be understood or implied. You have to tell people what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. For working through that word, the Holy Ghost can bring impenitent sinners to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God uses sinners like us to make it happen. Through the word, and through the word connected with the water, the Holy Ghost creates new life, brings salvation and the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it doesn't matter how many times a person has sinned, no matter how many times they've heard that gospel, they need to hear it again. Because in the world we live, there are so many influences out there to try to make us doubt or forget the love of God. The world, our sinful nature, and the devil want to separate us, cause us to forget that love of Jesus Christ. At one of my congregations, we had a Lutheran school, and we asked the 7th and 8th grade students who could play piano to come along with me on a Wednesday morning to play keyboard for our hymns in the nursing home. And they would come and they bond or meet these members of ours in the nursing home or also visitors in the nursing home. Nathan was one of those students. He played keyboard. And one particular woman there in the nursing home bonded with Nathan, Irene Krieger. She was in her 90s. She knew what she wanted and she knew what she didn't want. There's no arguing with Irene. She had brought up 8 children with her husband, who had now passed away, and she faithfully attended chapel. One Wednesday, the nursing home called her son and said, "Your mother is having heart attacks. Her heart is failing." So when we arrived that Wednesday morning, the son brought her to chapel. He said, "You know what, Pastor? She insisted of getting out of that bed, and I told her to stay there. But she wanted to hear about the love of God in Christ Jesus." The love of God. She needed to hear that one more time before the Lord took her home to glory. Yes, as Christians, that's our purpose as Christian pastors. Or as deaconesses, if you care for the people in the nursing home or the day schools, wherever God sends you to work, that gospel people need. They need to hear it over and over again to let them know and be assured of the fact you are reconciled to God because God made him who had no sin to be sin for you. You have the righteousness of God. Therefore, gentlemen, always be looking for those souls who need to hear the gospel for the first time or the last time because Christ died for those souls. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Yes, as Christian pastors and deaconesses, God's love for souls is our love. Whenever we serve someone, that's what we're to be looking for. Jesus died for this individual. You want to impress upon them that love of God. Show them what God was willing to do for them. And as students here at this seminary, you had such a professor, Kurt Marquardt. He showed you that love for souls, where he would go, Russia, Australia, Haiti. He didn't just care about people here in Fort Wayne, but all around the world. You did a wonderful thing by having that endowment created so people in Haiti would have the gospel continually brought to them. And as a class, you're going to know something, aren't you? You want to support that mission in Haiti, not just here or there where you're located, but around the world. World missions are a wonderful thing. Souls who are loved by God are receiving the gospel message. Sometimes souls don't like that gospel message, however. Maybe you know that from your vicar experience. Someone who doesn't want to admit their sin. They get mad at you, or they think you're unjust or you're self-righteous. They don't like to hear it. Or some people don't want to admit that they need a Savior. Or maybe you're confessing the word of Christ. Someone believes in an error, and they call you self-righteous, proud, arrogant. But the love of Christ for sinners reminds us to care for that soul with the love Christ showed. On the cross, when he was dying and the people beneath that cross mocked him, he asked for forgiveness for them. Or to the thief on the cross who mocked him, that forgiveness was there. Yes, in Jesus Christ, when we meet people who are angry, upset, or loveless, pray to the Lord that we love them with the love that he has loved us and them. What about your members? Those souls that you're going to go out and serve now that you're when you're ordained and installed. Or as the deaconesses, go out to serve the congregations that have called them. What about those souls? Well, as pastors, how do you think Christ wants you to take care of your sheep? Lock yourself away in your office? Stay glued in front of a computer? No, you have to stay in the office to get your sermons done, in a logical, clear way present the gospel, devotions as well, and Bible studies, but get out of the office, away from the computer, and get out there in your flocks. Christ has made you overseers of your flocks. What does a shepherd do? A good shepherd will sit down with the sheep and examine them. If there are any pests or parasites on them, or if there's some cut or injury, he has to have personal contact. So also in the gospel ministry, we need personal contact with our members. We need to know where they are in life, their spiritual condition. Have they had problems? What they know about life, so that we can deal with them on a one-on-one basis in a personal way. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for that soul. And we're his ambassadors. We're representing him. And as you have your personal contact, what do those people understand? This pastor or this deaconess really cares about me. It's sad sometimes when I make a home visit, they say, "Pastor, you know, no one's ever visited our home before." Well, now I am. And guess what? I want you to know that you are precious in the sight of God and that Jesus loves you. Yes, the love of God is for the love of souls. And that's what the Lord reminds us of. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. It doesn't matter what a person looks like, how they talk, or the words they have used. Our concern is for their soul. Not what I think, but what the Lord Jesus Christ wants. He wants that soul to know about his love and the forgiveness that is there. To have that peace and that joy. And as you do the work of the Lord, sharing the law and the gospel, letting them know about the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, guess who's with you? Your Lord and Savior. You're not alone. And the powerful word that can work conviction in their hearts does the same in ours. Yes, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is amazing love and amazing grace. And you, men, are privileged to enjoy sharing that word in word and sacrament. And you women, as deaconesses, enjoy the wonderful privilege of sharing that word in devotions, Bible studies, as God has called you. A word that brings joy to people's hearts like Iva and Lucia, and also people that you will run into in your congregations or in your life. Don't take your eyes off the people before you, whether it's the plumber fixing the leaky water pipe, who might need the water of life, or that Schwann ice cream man who's bringing a treat to your door. He might need the treat of salvation, or the homeless, helpless person who needs some special care or attention, for you have the bread of life. Don't close your eyes to the love of God and Jesus Christ and those who need it. May God cheer you through his love and word and bless your hearts and those who hear your word. Amen. Now may this peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.